Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, welcome to the Sun Ranto Show. The reason I'm whispering is because I'm still in San Diego, and it's early in the morning because I gotta work, and Johnny's asleep in the other room. I don't want to wake him up. So I just wanted to let you guys know that this is the free version of the Sun Ranto Show. And this part is not going to be on the non-free version, because our Patreon subscribers get to listen early and ad-free. It only costs $1 a month to be able to, not be interrupted in the middle of shows. So just go to patreon.com/sunranto. $1 a month is all it takes to get your own RSS feed for early and ad-free listening. Plus, there's perks at every level, and you help out the show a lot. $1 is worth 100 downloads for the podcasts and helps us out a lot. So please do it, patreon.com/sunranto. And since you're not a Patreon subscriber, I've got to ask you this. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Well, of course you would take the money, idiot. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on the winners? I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. So do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, for example, bet with MyBookie. You can bet on games after kickoff, and if at the second half it looks like your bet sucks, you can just take the other side. Now, if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little, but like to win a lot, there's a parlay you can use, and if all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season's the best time of year, except for baseball season, of course. So just join now and go to MyBookie, where they will double your first deposit. Double! Use promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R, and you activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid.
Cubby blue blood flowing through our veins. Sitting in the bleachers in the rain. We've shed a million tears and drank as many old-style beers out at the game. Let's go, Cubby, Sun Ranto.
Michael Cotton.
Sun Ranto.
Michael Cotton.
Sun Ranto and the lovable Lucy.
Boutros Ghali.
Sun Ranto.
Michael.
Sun Ranto.
Cotton.
Sun Ranto and the lovable Lucy.
Michael Cotton.
What are you doing?
Ranto.
Dude, we're starting a show here, Michael Cotton. We're starting.
What are we showing?
We're starting a show, I said. This is supposed to be an upbeat thing. Cubs win today. Come on, let's go. Hop two. Let's hear some Sun Ranto.
All right, hold on.
Now it's too late. You ruined the moment.
Sun Ranto.
All right. That's a little better. We'll take it and we'll start the show. Because I know both of us
taking a nap.
Yeah, I know both of us are kind of tired today. I'm out here. I've been on the West Coast sleeping in strange beds. Last night I was on a couch in an Airbnb. It's a nice Airbnb, but I drew the short straw because I got to work so early in the morning out here. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll just sleep on the couch because, you know, I'm out here. I got to come out here anyway. So.
I actually prefer sleeping on the couches when I'm in places like that, Airbnbs and shit. Like, the couch is usually better.
I don't know, man. Think of how many strange people are, like, sitting on that couch all the time. Like, you know, like...
But how many strange people are in the bed?
Oh, yeah, but at least they change the sheets. I'm just out here.
I put sheets on the couch.
No, that would be smart, but I came home. I drank half a bottle of vodka, And then came home and you know, this is, I told this to David DeJesus the other day when I was talking about being in Airbnbs. I'm like, yeah, I've stayed some pretty crappy places in my life. I'm like, but my theory is, and my maxim is, you know, once you're asleep, really doesn't matter where you are. You can be in the shittiest hotel. Might as well pay $30 so you're just going to sleep there anyway. Just get out of there first thing in the morning before the bed bugs bite you.
Right, and if you have enough alcohol in you, like,
yeah, just get,
you said,
yeah,
a half a bottle of vodka, I mean, the bugs are going to die when they bite.
Yeah, yeah, they just get drunk and, like, you stagger off of your belly.
And then you get that, like, that sleep sweat where it's just liquor coming out of your pores. Oh. And then, I mean, nothing protects you more than that.
Well, my seats, who I sat down today, and it was, you know, California is a sunny place, and I sit down, and, like, the shade was almost to me, but not there yet. So I sat in the first inning of this game just, like, sweating out vodka next to my niece. Why does Uncle Danny smell like a homeless man?
Right.
Yeah, well, he did. And then got some nice spicy fries, soaked up a little bit more, and I lived to play another day. Now, here we are after a Cubs victory. Hey, but, you know, let's jump right into it.
I mean, really, is it a victory? Is anything in this world a victory anymore, Danny? The world
fake
is
news.
Shit. Everything sucks.
Yeah. It. Well, here's the thing. The Cubs really did not need to come out to San Diego, which is a mediocre team, and split. And it's just like, you know, they talk about, like, kind of the microcosm of the season. I mean, hell, it's a road game, so I'll take a split, I guess. I mean, you know, except for it's just been so bad. But, like, they really needed to win because St. Louis lost a couple times, and the Cubs lost too. So they had a chance to make a little hay, kind of get back into it, think about the division again, and now it's, like, four games out still, and you're head back to Wrigley to play a crappy Pirates team. But, you know, it's kind of getting too late for the division, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's to the point that nobody cares anymore. Like, because you can't reasonably see this team doing anything.
Yeah, they are
so fucking, and honestly, I don't think it's the players. A lot of people want to come down on the players. I think Joe Maddon and the front office are just fucking butting heads. And have been all year, and this is what we get. We get just fucking crazy bullshit at the end of the season that nobody's happy with. I don't think Joe's happy with these lineups. I know the fucking front office isn't happy with these lineups.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, but Joe is just being a dick to the front office.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a contract.
I think you might be onto something. I mean, we've suspected that pretty much for forever that, you know, how much does the front office get in there? How much don't they? You know, and Theo was answering some questions on the radio the other day on 670 The Score, and I didn't hear it, but I read a little bit of what he said, and he did tap dance around that question, according to Brett Taylor at Bleacher Nation, you know, like about, you know, when they're asking him, you know, hey, so, you know, how much input do you have in the lineups? And he was kind of like, well, you know, I'd make a couple suggestions here and there. But he was like, you know, backpedaling and tap dancing and, you know. So, but he sounded pissed off, you know, like he's pissed off because here was the point he made. He said we were just caught from behind in the wild card standings because we are now currently tied with the Brewers. I should bring that up, even though they lose Christian Yelich for the season. Just keep winning 7 straight. I'm getting texts in the middle of the Cubs game today from Eric. He's like, 7 straight, buddy. Just to make everybody hate him for a moment. But we were caught from behind in the wild card standings by a team that our differential is 100 runs better than. But they're playing better baseball. And that's fucking true. Can't beat the Brewers. Can't beat the Padres. Another losing road trip. And now we go back to Wrigley with time running out. And I don't know. They needed to do better on this trip. And now, like, even if they do, imagine they have to play one game 163 to play the second wild card, and it's against the Brewers again.
I just hope they lose it. I don't want to see that. I don't. The wild card isn't a thing. It's a play-in game. And if you have to play in to play in,
End it. Yeah, it does be done. Yeah, there's no way win two games in a row, right? That's just not this team. Like, this team does not win two games straight in a big situation. They can't do it. Like,
right.
Like, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I mean, the whole thing, this theory that I have, that, you know, not only me, but other people have, with the front office and the management, like, the front office can't really tell Joe how to set the lineup. You know what I mean? Because if they do that, you take the team away from him.
Right.
And then there's no point in him being there. Like, nobody is going to listen to him or they're going to turn on the front office. And they can't have that. They have to, you know, Theo may suggest.
Yeah, I think
certain things during talks, but that's it. He can't actually do anything because you don't want to. It's when mommy and daddy are fighting. Like, you can't actually, you don't want your kids to see you, like, I don't know, going against.
Well, you don't want the players to know is what you're saying. Like, you don't want the players to think that there's some disconnect between, like, the front office, because then they're not going to feel safe, you know? And, you know, because they're millennials and they're, you know, got to have a special book read to them, you know, or to deal with them, but.
No, I think any team would do this. And I think they're already reading the writing on the wall. They're already.
Joe's gone. Joe's gone.
I don't think Joe has lost them on a personal level.
No.
I think the guys like him, and I think they do kind of want to play for him. But at the same time, I think they're probably more frustrated with this fucking craziness that we keep seeing than any of us are. Cause hey, this is their livelihood. We're just fans. Like, it's their fucking paychecks that are getting fucked up right now.
Yeah. Well, and they want to get to the playoffs. They want to play in playoff games. So, you know, they want to be on the national stage. They want, cause that just improves their ranking overall. So when they go out for a contract, everybody's heard of you. You're already a star. You know, people get excited if they sign, like in two couple of years, whoever signs Chris Bryant, they're going to be excited because everybody saw a lot of Chris Bryant, you know, on a national stage, you know.
I'll tell you right now, Chris Bryant lost a ton of money when he didn't sign that extension. The Cubs offered him that extension. I think it was $217 million or something.
Well, whatever it was,
around $200 million.
Yeah, he's done. He's not going to – I mean, not done. He's going to get some money. He's going to get a lot of it, but he's not going to get that much.
I think $180, $190 is where he's at. Like, he might get $200 from somebody, but he could have already had that money.
Yeah, and just be locked in to be in a Cub. Maybe that's what he didn't want, though. Maybe he does want to play somewhere else, you know. Maybe he wants to be a Dodger. I mean, he's tight-lipped about everything, so who knows. But, I mean,
he's going to the Phillies.
To the Padres.
The Phillies are going to have a $500 million payroll and two guys.
Phillies can't afford it. So, yeah, but it did sound like Theo's pissed. But he was pissed at the end of last year, and he did nothing. You know, so it's just like, I'm kind of sick of hearing piss Theo. I'm like, what are you going to do about it? You did nothing. You signed Kimbrel halfway through the year, which didn't work out because now he's hurt all the time because he never got ramped up. Like, lesson learned there.
I don't think I think the front office was hamstrung. I think Theo is pissed because he's getting it from both sides. I don't think the Ricketts are opening the pocketbooks. And on top of that, he's got a manager that just won't work with him just fucking play the players that he has. Instead, he's doing all this dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't understand why Joe's trying to get fired. I mean, Tony Kemp leading off. No wonder your ass got shut out on September 11th.
Yep. Albert Almora was leading off in the series before that.
Yeah.
For no fucking reason.
Just shouldn't happen. You got Benzo. I mean, finally.
And I love Almora. And I'm like, what the fuck? Fuck is he doing?
Yeah, and then you had Ben Zobrist out there. He only had one hit while he was leading off. But
tell me this.
Hurt himself.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Yes.
Why in the fuck did they bring back Ben Zobrist?
I have no idea.
I have no clue
so,
why.
So he could like smash his patella with a baseball that he files off of it.
You know? I don't understand That's this why. At all because they don't ever play him. They he plays like once no. out of every like four games.
He played in two games and then he fouled the ball off his kneecap in game. I agree though. Like he came up and he didn't play. Like he came up and then the Cubs played 2-3 games before he even got in there. Meanwhile, everybody's like, "Who's going to lead off?" And I'm like, "Ben Zobrist." He won't. And then they didn't even get out there.
He was a pinch hitter today and drove in a run.
Yeah, he didn't get a hit, but
he drove in the fucking run. Yeah, like what Ben Zobrist does.
Right. Yeah, and Tony Kemp was
spark.
And Tony Kemp was supposed to be a contact guy, and then he's just up there striking out. Like I'm like, he struck out at half his at bats yesterday on Wednesday when the Cubs got just struck out. I mean, fine, put Kemp in there, put him at second base. I'm not the biggest fan of it, you know. Like especially when you're looking for offense, you know, like Ian Happ got in there only for an at bat. He struck out, you know, in the shutout when we got shut out. But like,
yeah, that's another savior that's fallen on hard times.
Yeah, he has. And then, but Kemp, you know, he needs the bat eighth. You know, I mean, I get it. You don't have a leadoff hitter, but like, put fucking Rizzo up there. It goes well. We have to win baseball games. I don't care what people want to do anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like he took a walk. He didn't have any hits. He did go 0 for 4, but like he smacked the ball a couple times. I mean, Castellanos with a bad game today. He's kind of falling off too. Everybody's kind of falling off right now. Cubs ended up only scoring four.
Well, you know what? I mean, Castellanos falling off though still has two home runs in this week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's still good.
He's just striking out way more than he was before.
Yeah, he's just not putting the ball in play. But Theo, I mean, it's nice to hear that he cares so much. But, you know, when he's out there, it's got to be frustrating for him because he's putting this thing together. And then you're looking at this team that's going under 500 on a road trip when the games matter so much. And you're like, he can't go out there and play it for him. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, a lot of these games are lost like in the offseason, you know, like if they would have signed Kimbrel, like he might not be hurt right now. You know what I mean? Like they ramp him up, try to get him back too early. He's out there. It hasn't gone all that well. Only about half the time has it gone well for Kimbrel. But they should have got him. If they wanted him, they should have just got him and then had him be hurt early and then he'd be fine now. I don't know. You never know.
That might have been Theo being a little too cute, not wanting to give up the restricted pick or whatever the fuck you have to give up for that
bonus money or some shit.
I do feel like that's a Theo issue with that signing so late. If he could have, I mean, obviously the money was there at some point. Like, unless it's so hard. The fucking Ricketts are goddamn PK Wrigley right now. They seem to just be doing everything wrong. Joe Maddon is the goddamn college of coaches because you don't know who he is each day.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know who the fuck he planning on playing. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Theo did throw, and this is maybe more of an off-season conversation. Theo.
Oh, that'll be soon. Danny, but I mean, we're off season now.
I know, but I don't there's still baseball. I mean, can you imagine if this was 2014 right now? You'd be so excited. I can't believe we're in it. Let's think that way.
Okay, but 2014 was a bad team. They were not a good team.
Yeah, this team could be good. Yeah.
At the end of the year, they started turning it on. They became kind of a good team at the end of the year. So, yeah, I would be excited. This is actually a pretty good team, despite everything that's going on. I think they are being destroyed by just the you know, dysfunction within the organization right now.
Yeah, and which is weird because then you get like a promotion this announced this week for Jason McLeod, who is like kind of moving closer to like becoming a GM, I guess. Like this is like for like to improve his status in the world of baseball execs to get him a GM job eventually. So I guess we're getting a new scouting somebody, which would be good. I hope they're good at finding a pitcher because Lord, I mean, think of, and this is what I was going to say, think of all the dead money, the millions and millions, probably up to like about $20 million that Theo threw away on these shitty bullpen arms that didn't work out this year. You know what I mean? So, like, first you get Cole Hamels for $20 million. That's looking less and less like it was a great idea. You know, maybe for $20 million, you can, or even for $10 million, you can get a decent number five starter. Because, I mean, Hamels got us through a certain part of this year, but it is falling off a cliff. And he got hurt. Now he's hurt, too. But he's still out there, at least. But think about Xavier Cedeño. Go, you know, throwing millions at him, then he didn't even pitch, you know what I mean? And then you got, like, Tim Collins out there. You know, they got Derek Holland for a buck, and he's been worth every penny.
Right. <Yeah. laughs>
You know, Montgomery was getting a lot of money. You kind of just kind of got rid of him for nothing, pretty much. You know, Carl Edwards Jr. was in there. Like, nobody, like, worked out. You know, I don't think they were paying him that much, but Brad Brock. Oh, Tony
was terrible.
Tony Barnett, who, like, ran away from the team because he was in Iowa and he didn't want to be there. He's like the new Tommy La Stella. Like, there's a lot of money. Daniel Descalso, of course, you know, if you want to talk about money. Addison
Russell.
There is
a lot of money out there, but how much of it is, especially when we're talking pitching, is there's no development. There's no – since Chris Bosio has left this team,
Yeah, you're right.
We have nothing. Done nothing but, like, just clutch our pearls every time we talked about bullpen or starting pitching.
Well, I mean, Tommy Hottovy opened a pitch lab. Joe Maddon opened a restaurant. You see where this team's going. I mean,
oh, this is a goddamn 85 Bears, right? Oh,
no doubt. No
An amazing
doubt.
Team. The next year they come back. Now, the Bears, they had, like, everybody was doing everything kind of like the Cubs. They had dysfunction between the head coach and the defensive coach.
What do you mean everybody's doing everything? You mean, like, extracurricular Buena Beef commercials and shit?
Yes, Buena Beef and, you know,
Saturday
shows.
Saturday Night Live and going to Miracle the Musical and singing the Stretch.
Hey, I don't mind Saturday Night Live. That's like a one day thing. But
shooting Cubs
in the middle of the season, hitting home runs into the fucking Chicago River,
and then coming back with a bunk knee. No, I hear you. And that was, like, you know, PK Wrigley said that about the 69 Cubs. I think I read that on this show, like something I saw in that Sporting News that was donated.
Right. So 27 years worth of Sporting News.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I got to leaf through that. That'll be an off season project. But no, there's a lot of dead money thrown away. So, like, I don't even give, like, let's face it. The Cubs payroll is very high and it was just misspent, you know? So, like, you know, you could have done a lot of things different. I think a lot of this failure falls on Theo, but Joe Maddon is frustrating the fuck out of me. You know, like, you know, let's just get into the series real quick, and then we'll circle back around for Rakes, Flakes, Throws and Blows. But, like, that game two, which is the game that probably everybody's maddest about, you know, when the Cubs fight back after being down. Q was horrible in this game. But, like, really, Ben Zobrist gave up three of those runs, you know, by throwing the ball away.
Well, okay, so here's the
thing. 2 days straight, he threw the ball away.
Before we get into this, you're going to have to, like, walk me through a lot of this because...
You hate baseball and you don't watch.
West Coast. No, it's West Coast. Even though I'm mountain time, I have to get up early in the morning. I coach two separate sports teams. So I am, like...
You're totally unprepared.
I'm running on fucking fumes, yeah, just trying to get whatever I can...
Okay.
On this team.
Well,
you
take a nap. Well, I talk about what I'm going to talk about. In this game, the 9-8 loss in 10 innings, Cubs fight back. They get home runs.
You're just like, fuck the 10-2. We did great that game. Move on.
Yeah, well, no, because I want to talk about the controversial game first, you know, and then we can
I thought you'd start with the 10-2 because didn't that have the good lineup?
Yeah, that had a good lineup. But I'm starting
I'm
with
for the lineups.
Yeah, I'm starting with the 9-8 game.
Okay,
and Q is bad. Ben Zobrist throws a ball away. Bunch 3 runs score on that error. So there.
Well, okay. You know what? I did watch the first part of this game. Q wasn't that bad.
Yeah, right. I mean, was
fucking single after single after single.
Yeah,
the goddamn shift got put on, and that was one of those, like.
Yeah, and he
was
threw
death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, and he only threw 57 pitches and only lasted the three, but it was like they were hitting him. I mean, but they were hitting it pretty hard, too. Like, so, I mean, he just...
No, they weren't. There was a lot of shit fucking, like, infield singles in that inning. He might have gotten a little tired.
Yeah, I think he got tired because then he gave that home run to France. What a name.
Right.
France. Yeah, France. Like who names themselves country? Like, hey, yeah. There's Ed Spain. Well, I guess Sarah Spain. Yeah, yeah, people have the name, but nobody
there
has
you
the
go.
People have the name of America.
Yeah, America Ferrara.
Yeah, nobody calls themselves United States, though.
That's because it's a shitty name.
It's a really shitty name.
No, but okay, so, but yeah, that game, so I was watching it, and it was just, so the first one that I don't think Zobrist threw it away, but they put the shift on, and then it was this slow chopper right to where Zobrist should have been playing.
Yeah, and
but they didn't have a shift.
And they couldn't get the out at first, and then.
They couldn't get the out.
And then
Zobrist threw one away.
Like, he just looked like total ass out there and just like, yeah, why did you even come back? Just so you could stink up the room and have everybody hate you? I mean, seriously, the only person that likes you now is your wife, dude. So you better stick with her. Like, get that divorce off the table. Fuck. But yeah, but the thing that bothered me, A, C.B. Buckner is blind as fuck. Oh, criminally blind Buckner. What a bad umpire.
He missed the Hayward play. Which is when I turned it off. When he called Hayward out, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. Yeah. I can't watch this anymore.
I was on
and
the
then
phone.
Only to find out later that he was safe.
I was on the phone with my mother during that play. Like, yeah. We were. She was watching on TV in Chicago, and I was watching in San Diego on TV at my sister's place. And my mom, who's 81 years old, I mean, great, she's watching on TV, but she hadn't seen any replays. She picked up the phone right after Hayward made that slid into home, and I'm like, oh, they called him out. And she's like, oh, I thought he looked safe.
I looked 81. Safe, too.
Everybody sitting next to me thought she looked safe, but except for the man who's standing there looking at it. And like,
standing fucking 3 inches from that shit.
A different angle. We did have a different camera angle, but
yes. At
the same time, like, to the naked eye, she watched it live, didn't even see a replay, was like, I thought it was safe. And I'm like, well, that could be just, like, mom loves the Cubs bias, too, that she wants him to be safe. So, like, but he was safe. He was actually safe. And then that really kind of started off, some momentum. The Cubs fight back. They get 2 runs in the fifth. They get 3 in the eighth. And they tie it up. 8-8, you know. And it's unfortunate that, like... I don't know. I really felt like, I mean, Joe was being cute with the bullpen. Chatwood did a great job. He gets 3 innings after Quintana only goes 3. But then, like, Kinsler couldn't get anything done, gives up a bunch of hits, more runs score. Like, Joe finally gets him out of them. Then he's cute with bringing Ryan in only for, like, a 2 batters. And then he brings cute again, getting Phelps in. Wick looks awesome, takes 2 innings. And then, you know, like, so he's, like, mixing and matching and, like, you know, doing things. But when Steve Cishek obviously did not have it, right, he threw 21 pitches, of which only 7 were strikes. And his excuse?
And he walked in the run, right?
Oh, yeah. And he walked 3. And his excuse was like, well, C.B. Buckner's back there, and so I thought I could get some on the edge. And I'm like... No, you have to pitch the way you always pitch. Like, why are you throwing outside? Like, you need to. They knew because he had nothing. And it was obvious especially after he walked the second batter and loaded him. But I would have gotten him out of there after the first. You have other dudes. You know that he doesn't have it. Like, it's one of the most obvious things I've ever seen. And you just let him up there. And he walked him on 4 pitches.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, even if you do leave him in there and it's ball one, I'm like, all right. You're out of there, you know.
And this is how I started my morning. You know, it's 6 a.m. You know, I'm at work, and I'm just, like, looking at the tweets and stuff and just, you know, reading it. And then I turn on it's just...
C.B. Buckner, blind as fuck. All those calls went against the Cubs. I was watching the Padres broadcast. And
oh, yeah.
Every time the Padres... got a bullshit call, The announcers were like, thank you, CB. Thanks for that one. And then even the manager after the game said they got gifted the game.
Yeah, so the Padres, one of those Padres announcers grew up like a huge Cubs fan, right?
Oh, because so he seemed really excited when the Cubs were doing stuff, so then maybe that's why.
Yeah, well, and I don't know which one, because when you actually look at a picture of the Padres announcers,
they're both
they
bald.
Are twins.
Yeah, they're both bald. They both like look like freaking little shaved penis heads.
Yeah, they're twins. And one of them grew up a Cubs fan and was, you know, really excited. Like, he sang the seventh inning stretch a couple years ago. Like, he loved the Cubs, but he's an ex-professional player, you know, and then played with the Padres, I think. So that's why he's where he's at. But it doesn't surprise me that he's like calling it, you know, like when
he's calling him as he sees him. He's like, oh my God,
when you like both teams or you hate both teams, you really get honest in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've seemed pretty loose. I mean, I wasn't really into their, I didn't really listen that much to what they were doing. You know, like, I wasn't. Like, really, I mean, I hate kind of listening to other announcers because they don't talk enough about the Cubs. But this guy was actually talking a lot about the Cubs. And they were talking a lot about how C.B. Buckner is a damn terrible umpire. And they were like, ooh, yeah, nice. Call that one. Because, like, the Cubs got some horrible calls on them. Like, balls well outside of the zone, called strikes while they were batting. And then Steve Cishek, those were technically strikes, the batter before. Like, he missed on all four at the end of the game. But the batter before, those were all borderline pitches. And they all hit the strike zone. They were all a little bit in the zone. He called them all balls. And, like, you right, know, you just fucked us. You just fucked us.
Well, and we've talked about this a million times in this show. It's not about the actual call. It's not about the call that happens at the time. That sucks.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
It's how it affects the whole rest of the game, because now you don't have anybody swinging. Yeah, because they're like, well, they might all be balls.
Yeah.
Well, those look like strikes. They're all balls. Just sit. He's got to throw it down the middle if he wants a, you know, if he wants
totally,
a strike.
Yeah, exactly. Totally inconsistent. And then you just lay it in there. And of course, you know, then you get that. But Steve Cishek didn't lay shit in there. He walked.
You lay it in there, but you lay it in there because you're not getting anything.
Yeah, yeah. You're not
every
getting
pitch you throw up there, you're like, that looked good. That looked good. That looked good. Nothing's happening. And pretty soon you have to put the ball
right
over
the middle,
the plate.
Yeah.
In order to get a strike.
Yeah, bad things happen.
Especially when the guy before got walked on those pitches, the next guy is just like, well, I don't have to swing
until
it comes right down the middle.
Yeah, I put this loss partly on Joe. I put it partly on CB, and I put it partly on Ben Zobrist, and pretty much in that order. And I'm getting more and more pissed that Ben looks like shit out there because, you know, find your personal life and everything. I get it. You know, you got to do what you got to do. But for Christ's sake, dude, like this shit really sunk our season. It just did.
Well,
it just did.
It did, and it sucked. I think he's the least of the Cubs' problems.
Yeah, I'm just mad in general, so he's going to get a little bit of my fucking ire right now. You know,
I wish he was playing every day. I don't see any reason why this guy, like,
I'll tell you why, because he's old and he can't.
Right, but the reason pitchers aren't good is because they don't hit every day.
Yeah.
Right? You know, they only do one thing because they don't play every day. The guys, like, that's why it's so amazing to be a good pinch hitter, because you're not playing. To come out and be a 250 hitter off the bench all the time, that's amazing because it's so hard to do. So when you bring up this guy who's been out,
well, let me
forever,
ask you this.
And he's got a little bit of success, let him keep playing.
Yeah, well, let me ask, like, where does he play?
Second base, because nobody else that's really better than him for second, right?
Not right now. I mean, obviously with Javi out, which is really frustrating, and with Addison Russell out, and also bad at baseball. And I mean, yeah. And I've got to mention Nico Horner. That is a huge bit of news that we kind of missed. It happened right after we recorded last time.
Oh yeah,
Nico
yeah.
Horner called up.
Spend some time on him.
Yeah, I did. I was going to do it with game one because that's when he got called up. He goes 3-for-5 in his first game. How awesome is that? Ended up on base in every single game in this series. Kind of
and made some
nice
really
plays.
Good plays. Yeah, out looks, there in the first game.
Yeah, he does not look overmatched like a lot of rookies do when they first come up. He's has confidence. Hopefully he'll stick with that. I mean, he honestly could, I mean, kind of save whatever remnants of this season are left at this point, because he was a big part of that 10-2 win. You know, he goes 3-for-5 in his first game. Didn't he hit a triple? He had a triple. Yeah, and he with his tongue hanging out, you know, it was awesome. And he looks like the real deal. I mean, obviously, you know, it's early. We haven't really seen him before, but dude fucking knocked in 4 runs.
Well, you know, they were playing against a AAA team. So, you know, he felt comfortable.
Yeah.
None of the other players.
Well, I don't know. Like, you got Greg Garcia. France is out there. Yeah.
Francais.
Yeah, Jankowski. No, they got people. They got Eric Hosmer and they got, you know.
Oh, Jankowski, the ex-Raiders kicker?
No, wrong guy.
Okay.
So then, I guess we'll talk about that game. Castellanos with the homer. You know, that was kind of his last good game. Schwarber looks great. Oppo shot, which I called. Dude, the pitcher
Schwarber
was
looked great in that game.
Schwarber.
Yeah, in
going
that game.
Oppo, yeah. So
he's been struggling.
Yeah, he, you know, but I mean, it may be a little fall off. I'm not going to go game by game and say he's bad now. You know, he's been doing some stuff. He's been striking out a little bit more. But Schwarber's home run. Pitcher is mid-pitch, just in his windup. And I go, Schwarber's gonna bash one right now. And that is exactly what happened. Dude, I called it like I've never called a home run before. It was incredibly impressive. So you're welcome.
Well, I mean, you can just fucking guess home run on any pitch because it was like one of those Oppo half swing Schwarber specials.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. I sensed it. It was I don't call
felt it
home
in
runs
your
often.
Bones.
I felt it in my bones, and I saw the way he swung at the pitch before, and I was like,
I wish
he's
you would
going.
Feel your bones a little more often because the rest of the team needs.
No,
it.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't call them all the time. I just call.
I know.
That
I'm saying start feeling your bones.
All right, I'll feel it. Yeah, Benzo threw one away in this one, but the Cubs won 10-2, and like you know, Hendricks was good. And, I mean, we only went 5.2, gave up a bunch of hits because, you know, that's kind of what the Padres will do to you. They got some speed. They get on the base. You know, there's nothing to talk about game three. You know, I mean, the Cubs did shit. Oh, I mean, I could say this. I had a really good time because I was hanging out with everybody because that's the first game I go to.
And right, but another bad
group.
Lineup.
Bad lineup.
One good lineup this
Tony
week.
Kemp, yeah. I mean, you got Tony Kemp up top on this one. But I had a great time. I just want to shout out everybody I saw because it was really fun. Lisa Cram was there with her son Brady and Johnny Onomatopoeia from the podcast. He was out there. John Feliz from Cubs Insider was there. We had Mike Mock and his son Calvin. Chris Bonner was there. My friend, my other friend, Mike. Dude, we had a great time. Like, I drank half a bottle of vodka and that was like before the game and after the game. And then like, dude, it was just, I had a great time. That's all I want to say about it.
That's good.
The best part of this game, you ever follow, I think her name is like Carrie Baby. Is that it? Miss Carrie Baby? Or she changed her handle recently or whatever. But she's an LA nurse. And I was outside having a cigarette. And she comes up and she's like, "Hey, are you Danny Rocket?" And I was like, "I am." And she's like, I got this Cubs rap. And I'm like, "Oh, cool, sing it for me." And dude, it was this long ass fucking 2-minute long rap that she wrote and she fucking out there fucking rapping for me. It was awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. Me and Johnny were standing there like kind of like half beatboxing. Her rhythm was bad because she was drunk too. But anyway,
is it Nurse Got a Body at Ms. Carrie Baby?
Maybe. But
I just looked up Carrie Baby on Twitter just to see if I could find it, and I see that Nurse got a body.
She changed it somehow. Like I forget what it is. But anyway, that was the best part of this game. Cubs do nothing. Rizzo hit a triple. I missed it anyway. I was getting food. And then the only good thing that happened was I was razzing Will Myers. You know, he moved over to left field, and I was razzing him because he's number four. And I go, "Hey, Will, number four, more like 0-for-4. And then it was the ninth inning, so he pointed at the scoreboard, and he goes, and he holds up the four fingers and then makes zero, with like making a zero with his hand.
Yeah, four to zero.
Yeah, and I'm like, and then he was like, "Burn." And I was like, "Yeah." So he dished it back to me, and I fucking had to take it because it was true. We lost. But Hamels was okay. He didn't pitch that long. Goes out of there in the fifth. Gave up a home run. Norwood and Underwood were not great. The two relieving Woods.
The Wood brothers.
The Wood brothers. Yeah, it wasn't great. And then the only thing I could say is positive about this one is that Strope struck out too. So maybe he's figuring it out, but like too little too late, you know.
Hey, you're not a Patreon subscriber, so you got to listen to an ad on Boner Pills. Okay, here's what the deal is. You know, guys, you used to be always ready to go when you were younger. Now you're not because you're old. And if you want to increase your performance and get extra confidence, this is what you got to do. Go to bluechew.com. Blue, like the color. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. You can take them anytime, day or night, full or empty stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready all the time. Now, if you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is fast and easy, and it will enhance your performance. Now, most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. Blue Chew's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Now, right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR, ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, blue like the color, BLUECHEW.com. Promo code ARMCHAIR, try it free. BlueChew is better, cheaper, and a faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the Sun Ranto Show. If you want to sponsor the Sun Ranto Show and never listen to an ad like this again, join us. Patreon.com/Sun Ranto. Helps keep the lights on the podcast. Thanks. Back to the show.
And then today was a hell of a lot of fun. You get the run in the first. Sack fly from Bryant. After Rizzo ended up on third base. After, I guess, I missed it because I was standing in line trying to get in. I was pretty hungover today. And I was like, it took us a while, and then Johnny went for a run, and then he came back, and we're just like moving slow. You know what I mean? So I ended up standing in line and missed the sack fly, and I guess my sister was already there with the kids. And I guess Rizzo, he walked, and then Schwarber hit what should have been a double because Rizzo ended up on third, but I guess he fell going around first base. And I was like, oh, damn it, I got to look that up later because I really love watching Schwarber fall. Oh, and
yeah,
by the way,
a couple years ago, that was one of our things, right? Was like watching Schwarber fall down.
Yeah, it was like one of our, it was like as funny as watching Joe West fall down. But now he seems to be a little more sure footed. And I got a shout out to Schwarber too, man. He was acknowledging us too out in, we were in left field last night. We were kind of in the left field corner today, but in like foul territory. And he was really cool with us, you know, just like always looking over me like, hey, like recognizing us. You know what I mean? Me anyway, because I'm already sitting left. Anyway, it was really, it's
right.
Really,
well,
cool.
And your Cubs fans, you know, and, you know, well, we were visiting.
Me and my sister and my niece were dancing to like everything because we were trying to get on the Jumbotron. So we were dancing really between every inning break. And Schwarber caught us dancing. It was like, hey. And gave us the guy gave us a like, hey guys, nice dancing. I'm like, yeah. But anyway, so Rizzo scores on a Chris Bryant sack fly. The real story of and so it's nice to strike first. Hap scored a couple with the single. Benzo, that little squibber, you know, didn't hit the shit out of it, but it scored the run, you know, so I'll take it. But the real story of this game, You motherfucking Darvish. And 14 strikeouts in six innings, two walks, two hits, 110 pitches. Dude, he was great. Dudes were off balance all day. Didn't know what was coming. He looked great. Just, did you watch this game at all? I know you said you had been running around.
No, unfortunately, I was working today.
Yeah, go watch the Darvish highlights.
I have one day left to work. It's tomorrow, and then, you know.
And then you're good.
And then we're good. We can actually record this during the day.
Yay, unemployed Michael's my favorite kind of Michael. So, now, the other thing I want to bring up about this game is that Manny Machado, with the bases loaded, like, I was like, think, because, you know, Grand Slam ties it at this point, because what happened was, God, how many walks were there? Wick. He walked one, but there was a hit. He gave up two hits. That's what it was. And ended up giving up an earned run because, like, he goes, like, 3-1 on Machado, and he's, like, not giving him anything to hit, right, because he doesn't want a Grand Slam to tie it. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, just fucking hit him. you know, it's like what I thought, you know. Like, it might be fun to hit Machado just because he gets so mad and, like, he might actually do something. Like, I'm like, fucking just hit him. And I never say that either. Like, just as much as I don't call home runs, I don't ever say hit guys.
Yeah, you usually go on a rant about how it's a fucking felony offense.
It is, and, yeah. But for whatever reason, like, my hungover worse self came out, and I'm like, just fucking put one in his back. And then he did! And I was like, yeah, I don't even care that run scores. Shut out, goodbye. Go down to first base. Because, like, he came in to pinch hit, and you had Urias next. And I think you could, well, I don't know. We've been beaten by a lot of fucking losers this year. So I was a little scared. I'm like, oh, he only has two home runs on the year. Here comes number three, walk off. You know what I mean? Like, I knew that there was a strong possibility of that happening just the way this year has gone. But so, I don't know. There's your series. It sucked, man. I mean, Cubs, you know, they were pretty uncompetitive in game three. You know, you can't do that. You know, Tony Kemp's out there, three hits. Like, you got to be putting your best lineup out there and, you know, Rizzo,
right, and they battled back. They battled back the game before. But it's like the wind is let out of their sails when Joe just mismanages the bullpen so horrifically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even in this game, like, it was, I guess, Norwood gave up. You know, well, they didn't score. What are you going to do? Like, they gave up four runs. You should still win that game if this offense was any good. They are not. You know,
well,
you got to take
it.
They can
be good, but you never know who's going to be in it and where they're hitting from. And
it's not one thing, it's another. If it's not one thing, it's another. You know, Cubs are currently exactly 10 games over. No, wait. No, that's not true. Yeah, they're exactly 10 games over 500. And the Padres there's a 20-game swing here. They're exactly 10 games under 500. You got to...
Ooh. What's the diff? What was that stat we created like a month ago? The diff per or something?
Yeah, what was that stat? The diff per. I forget what it was.
Diff something, yeah.
Yeah, the difference of the difference. Right?
I think the diff-diff. Yeah, it was the diff-diff.
Yeah, the difference of the difference, which I don't even remember what that refers to. I'm already confused, so I'm just going to leave it there. Excuse me. I don't know. Let's do Rakes, Flakes, Throws, and Blows, move on to the Pirates series, and then call it a podcast, shall we? So I picked up this rake at Home Depot.
Yeah. Okay, so hold on. The diff-diff is 150 runs between San Diego and the Cubs. That's the diff-diff.
You mean our run differential versus their run differential?
Our run differential minus their run differential is 150.
Yeah, and you split with them. Ridiculous. Diff-diff.
So I picked up this rake at Home Depot.
That's so bad. All right, okay, so everybody already knows I didn't get to watch all these games because I'm a human with a job and I'm so tired all the time.
Yeah, this is fascinating stuff. I'm sure everybody gives
a shit. I'll do my best.
I'm sure everybody's at home feeling bad for you.
Hey, the J.A. kid has broken 20 homers for only the second time in his career and is now only six behind his personal best. Now, it is in a year full of juicy balls, but the ball was juiced in 2017, too, and he only hit 11 homers. So, you know, he's doing better than that. The guy looked terrible in the leadoff, but now that he's lower in the order, he has hit 444, 565, 1056 for a whopping 1621 OPS over the last week.
Yeah, what is it? He goes
Jason Hayward.
Yeah, he goes 2 for 3 in the game on Monday. He goes 2 for 3 in the game on Tuesday. Then he goes, I'm trying to see what he did. He was not on base on the in the shutout. And then today he goes 2 for 4 and I believe he had a double. Yeah, he had a double. And, dude, he's just been smacking the ball a lot more. It's nice to see out of the leadoff spot. I really think that whatever's going on up at that leadoff spot, it's got to be mental. But, like, he can't do it. You got to get him out of there. You got to keep him out of there.
You know how they do the they've done the documentary on the fastball and the documentary on the knuckleball and all that shit? They need to do a documentary on the leadoff spot. It needs to feature Ricky Henderson almost exclusively, but they just need to talk about what is going on in the leadoff spot, because I do not understand exactly. Like, I can kind of get it. Like, you know, if you're in the second, third, fourth spot, like, you can kind of see a few extra pitches and have an idea of what they're doing. Like, it's a little bit tougher because you're kind of jumping out there cold. But that doesn't account for the rest of the game, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, because, well, it kind of does, because you probably don't have anybody on base because you're eight spot and your pitcher is probably not on base, you know, usually.
I'm just talking about how hard it is for people to get hits.
Oh, yeah, well, even, yeah, at all. Like, even just to get on base, too, so that the batters behind you can do something. Yeah, I totally agree. Well, here's, I talked to David Jesus a little bit about it, too.
Okay,
because he did
probably
a lot
has a much better idea of this than you
well,
or I would.
Yeah, well, that's he was a leadoff hitter, so yeah, he absolutely would. But here's what he kind of said about it. He goes, "Here's what's different about it." I go, "What's different about it that these guys cannot get their head straight when they're in that spot?" And he said, "He goes, the at bats come around really fast, like." He's like, it's kind of weird to be the first guy up there because it's just like, it's just a different experience. Like, you know, you're warming up, you're hanging out, you get a drink of water, and all of a sudden, like, your name's being announced and you're the first one. So, like, okay. Yeah, he's like, sometimes you're not ready to go because you had to take a shit, you know, whatever it would be. whatever you're doing before the game, you're doing that. Getting ready game. And then now you're in the game and you're the first ones. He said, that's weird. And he goes, the other thing that's weird about it is that it's just like, you're just always batting, it seems. He's like, you know, all of a sudden he's like, oh shit, I'm up again. So that might be part of what it is. I don't know why it would feel any different because it's just 999.
Well,
maybe it's
because
those bottom guys get out too fast.
But here's what I'm thinking then. Now, just interrupt me if you think I'm way off base. If that's the case, if what David DeJesus is saying is true, which I have no reason to doubt.
He's just saying what his experience was.
His experience, right? Wouldn't it make sense to have the exact same guy do that every day just so he can fucking figure it out?
Yeah, have the experience of it. Yeah, but it's exactly. No, but
I mean, it's like, oh, no. You're up there today. You're up there today. You're up there today. And all of a sudden, it's like, if you do it every day and you're always in that spot,
maybe you figure
then
it out.
You
yeah.
can figure it out, right? So you're not taking the shit 4 minutes before the game.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I got to push this puppy out like an hour earlier. You know, like, you know better than to do that. And just the little things you can prepare so that, like, the leadoff hitter, you know, should maybe be ready to go like a half hour before. But you can't do that if you don't know what you're doing, right? I haven't done this before, or I haven't done it in 3 weeks, and, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at DeJesus' stats here. He led off the game, first batter of the game, 890 times he did that. And he was good, like
890 times.
Yeah, in 890 games. That he led off a game. And he batted 261. He had an OBP of 337. And he did okay. I mean, that's...
Oh, my God. If the Cubs had a leadoff hitter that batted 261, 337, yeah. Holy cow. Like, that would be... They would name a street after him.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, off of David DeJesus, and let's get to...
I haven't worried about flakes since my grunge days, remember them?
God. I just want you to keep doing these things. This is amazing.
Might as well. It's easier than pushing a button that I usually push the wrong one.
Yep. So there are plenty of players that could be brushing those grungy flakes off today. But this week, I'm giving it to Kyle Schwarber with his 143, 200, 250 slash line. Now, you were talking about how you liked him and you thought he was doing well, but a 450 OPS over the last week is not very good.
Yeah, but in each strikeout.
He did have a homer.
Yeah.
Which made me want to find somebody else, but 11 strikeouts this week, that sealed the deal.
Yeah, he even in the game, he had a homer and he struck out a couple times. But that's who he is, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Only Big Nick Energy has as many strikeouts as Schwarber this week.
Yeah, he's been striking
out. And that's 11. And nobody else is really even close to double digits, just those two guys. But at least Castellanos has twice as many hits and twice as many homers in the same time span. So, you know, at least he's doing a little more with his outside of his 11 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's doing his job, and he's even making some decent plays in the outfield too, like running balls down. Like, whatever, whoever said that he was shitty at defense, they're wrong. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where he's on a shitty team, so he's not getting up for games, and that ballpark's cavernous. So,
well, maybe he's not the best, but, like, you know, he hasn't fucked up yet, so I'm fine with it.
No, he may not be the best, but you saw him look a little shakier in San Diego, right? Couple of times I saw him, he made the play, but he
had to see where the ball was going.
A little shakier than
at
Wrigley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
Like, Wrigley's a much smaller park. So.
So how about throw it up, motherfucker, throw it up.
You are not good at the rapping game.
I'm awesome.
Maybe we should have gotten Carrie Baby to,
move on.
To rap that a little bit.
Not in the mood for this.
You got to go with you.
Yeah, 14 Ks. He's got to be the guy.
Two games in the last week after being scratched for his pre-Tommy John tightness in his forearm. And he throws 11 scoreless with 21. Yes, 21 strikeouts.
Nice.
And only 5 hits for a .73 whip. The guy's on fire. I will say, though, the one place he's fallen off, he walked 3 guys in those 2 starts.
So 21 strikeouts to 3 walks. I think we'll be okay with it. We'll be okay.
Yes, that was clearly a joke. out of the bullpen, I'm going Chatty. Chatwood, 5 innings pitched, no runs given up. He struck out 5. He walked 0. He's looking good right now. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's a lot of money for what he's doing, sort of, but at least he's doing it well.
If they got to piece it together and you got Lester for 3 innings and Chatwood for 3 innings, or you got Hamels for 3 innings and Chatwood for... if that's how it's got to be... Just to save those guys, because it, you know, third time through the order hasn't been going too well. Sometimes even first time through the order, let's face it. But, I mean, to have him, you know, being kind of the new Mikey Mont, you know, and out there at least contributing to what seemed like was going to be a contract that was going to be shit, you know, I mean, we'll take it. You know what I mean?
Oh, and just going from the guy who entered the game or started a game, and you're like, oh, my God, here we go. He's going to walk 5 or 6 batters to not walking any. You know, and not that he never walks guys, because he's still got a little bit higher walk rate than you want to see. But he's much more effective. So yeah, I like it. I like Chadwick.
And he could dial it up there. Even with, you kind of need him doing what he's doing now, taking lots of innings. But with Kimbrel out, who threw a bullpen today, by the way, so maybe he comes back. But
this is like Brandon Marl all two, over again.
And he's going to be all next year. We're just
flat ground. Yeah. Have they said flat ground yet?
No.
Is he thrown off of flat ground?
No, bullpen. He's a real bullpen. He was thrown off of not flat ground.
Oh, okay, good.
Curved ground he was on.
That's the next question you need to ask David DeJesus. Maybe he doesn't know, but maybe he can connect you with somebody who does know. What the fuck is – why is it such a difference, flat ground to mound? Because they make a big deal about him throwing off a flat ground,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, what is the difference? And he went through Tommy John, so he could probably tell me. not that he ever pitched – well, he did in high school, but, you know.
Yeah, at least he would maybe know from talking to other guys.
Yeah.
You know.
So, how about this one? You just put your lips together and blow.
Oh, you were supposed to go. All right. The starters. It's John Lester. Oh, 5.1 innings. 8 earned runs,
yeah.
2 home runs,
whoa.
3 walks, 7 strikeouts. 7 strikeouts, not bad, but
that was against the Brewers, and then they were batting .318 off of him in that game. Like they just every third guy was getting a hit, you know.
Yeah, it was brutal to watch him out there. It was sad to see, and then in the bullpen, Kinsler's had 1 inning in 2 games, 18 ERA.
Yeah, he gave up a couple runs, but you got to give it to Cechek. Come on, he couldn't find the fucking plate and blew the game like right there.
Right. Well, but he had another game where he wasn't completely terrible.
Hamill sucked this week too.
Yeah,
Hamill, there's a lot of suckitude to go around. Unfortunately,
you're right. Digger Phelps, in 2 games, has pitched 1 strikeout and given up a home run. And a ball or and a walk, it's not good.
Yeah. Oh God. It's a disheartening fucking situation we have here.
It is a disheartening fucking situation, and the thing is, there are pitchers on this team that are pitching well. They are just overshadowed by how abysmal the rest of the staff is doing.
Yeah. Well, if it's not one thing, it's another. That's really how it feels. So, quick Pirates preview. Let's go through this quickly. I know.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So they're in last place. They're eliminated from contention. And I'd like to thank them for at least beating the Cardinals one time, the last time they faced them, which was recently. We have 6 more games against the last place Pirates, which is why we're still actually favored to make the second wild card here. Cubs are 8-5 against the Pirates this year, which is pretty unacceptable if you consider that they are terrible. The Bucks won 3-4 in Pittsburgh in the beginning of July. That's when Kimbrel blew a game and the Cubs got beat 18-5. That's the last time we went over there. Remember that? Fun stuff. The Cubs.
Hey, let's do it again.
The Cubs have scored 69 runs off Pirates pitching this year.
Nice.
And allowed only 51. The Pirates are coming back just like us. So it's like, kind of sucks for them. They're coming back from San Francisco right now, whereas the Cubs are coming back from San Diego. So everybody's flying in from the West Coast to go play in Pittsburgh. go play at Wrigley. So Chris Archer, Starling Marte, and Polanco are hurt. I don't know if they'll be in the series. Not all of them will be. Pretty much everybody on this pitching staff is having Tommy John surgery, which is one of the reasons they suck. They traded Jordan Lyles to the Brewers, and they traded Corey Dickerson to the Phillies. So I don't know who they got. I was going to ask Brian, but he couldn't come on. And I guess I could have looked it up. I'm like, Brian, I got to ask Brian about these trades. The Pirates, they have an average OPS. They do put the ball in play a lot. The Cubs have the 8th best OPS, but it certainly doesn't feel like it still. Really like 8th best in everything, 8th, 7th. Pirates have the 6th fewest homers. They don't hit a lot of home runs. Cubs do, seventh most. They have taken the fourth fewest walks. They're up there swinging. Cubs the eighth most. They've struck out, though, the second least time, and the Cubs are pretty average in that category. They have an average number of stolen bases. Cubs shouldn't ever steal bases because then Javi will break his hand again, or whoever else tries to steal will end up breaking their hands. The Cubs have scored. Here's the thing that's a little disheartening, and it might be a little bit different because I looked this up only a couple days ago. The Cubs have only scored 16 more runs than the Pirates. Both teams are really average when it comes to just scoring runs, which is why we're in this disheartening fucking situation we have.
Right. When the shitty team at the bottom of your division is basically the same as you in scoring runs, it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I wonder if it's even closer now because they didn't, because the Cubs didn't score the other day. Yeah, the Cubs have scored 715 runs, and the Pirates have scored 701. So 14 runs. It's worse. It's worse.
Yeah.
Right. It was at 16. Now it's at 14. This fucking sucks. So the Pirates team ERA, now this is another reason they're bad, is a run higher than the Cubs, just over 5. But isn't like 5 the new 4 and 4 is the new 3 because of the juice ball? Yeah.
The juice balls and the truck stop dick pills. We even talk about that. That the Major League Baseball had to put out a statement telling the players, quit buying truck stop dick pills.
Yeah.
You will get busted for this. How stupid. But that's what got the Twins pitcher, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's what he said. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. Fucking know.
He's like, no, I was... He's got 4 needles sticking out of his ass. No, it was truck stop dick pills.
So their bullpen could use a dick pill. They're 3/4 of a run worse than the Cubs bullpen.
You mean a bull penis pill?
Yeah, a bull penis pill. Both teams give up an average amount of walks. They're both average in strikeouts.
I love when you keep talking about the Cubs and keep telling us how average they are.
No, they are. They just are.
Just that's a disheartening fucking situation right there. I just feel like the players on this team are not average.
No.
It's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Players themselves are not average. The front office and management in the clubhouse, like all this working to get, I feel like it's just dragging them down.
I mean, why? I mean, here's the thing. There's not a single player on the Cubs that's going to get an MVP vote. Not one. You know, yeah. You're going to be average.
You're right.
You're going to be average. So,
I mean, I'd give Rizzo one, but just because.
So the Pirates do give up home runs. Yeah, just because you love them. You can still kind of do the splits. They're 10th worst in giving up home runs. So we got a shot with that, at least at Wrigley. Hopefully we get it blown out. The Cubs, they have actually been really good at keeping it in the park. They are 6th best in the majors at not giving up home runs. The Pirates have committed.
Well, yeah, because other teams don't have to hit home runs against the Cubs.
No, they just put it in play.
Yeah, they put it into play, and they fucking, you know, they get one run an inning, you know, every few innings, and the Cubs get none because they're just trying to hit homers.
So, I'm looking up the defense here. The Pirates, they kick it around. And if you remember what Brian said on one of our Pirates previews a while ago, he said, there's nothing resembling a shortstop on this team. So, you're going to commit a lot of errors because of that.
Now we have something that resembles it. Nico Horno.
Yeah, kind of. Good.
He resembles a, you know, a shortstop.
So does Addison Russell, too, but he's a dumbass.
No, not anymore. His nose does not look like a shortstop nose anymore.
Oh, good for him. I don't know what that means, but good for him.
He got hit in the face. He got hit in the nose with that ball.
I know.
He actually got hit in the nose, so his nose is no longer a shortstop. God damn it. It's not funny when I have to explain it.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, wait, it wasn't funny anyway.
So, yeah, they kick it around. They've committed more errors than even the Padres, who kind of were kicking it around in the series. Cubs kicking around, too, though. Everybody's kicking it around. Cubs have the 5th most. Just a bad defensive team, you know, really regressed there. The Pirates are average at stopping the running game. Cubs are quite below average and have now allowed the fourth most stolen bases in the majors. So that's not cool. The Pirates have the worst in the majors. And the Cubs, their dirt ticked down. At least it did the other day. They were down to 692 now.
Oh, my God.
692, the incredibly shrinking dir.
Oh, you know what? That's the next bet. How many games we got left? Like, 26 games, 27 games?
Well, they're not going to get up to 700, I'll tell you that much.
No. Yeah, right. Like, I'm going to make that bet. Do they drop out of the 690s?
Ooh. I don't think they do.
No, but yeah, that should be the bet, though. What's their ending dir?
I'm saying
like 690 on the nose.
Ooh. I'm going to go that they get it back and they're going to end up with a 694 dir.
Oh, 694. Okay. Yeah. I got 690. They're at 692, right?
They're at 692. And so you went down,
so
too, and I went
up,
too.
If they go down at all, I win. If they go up at all, you win.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what it is, yeah. So the scavenger hunt, we're going to bring back the sea shanty. It's the end of the year. We're going to bring back the sea shanty. We'll probably do it for the next two Pirates. You got to write a sea shanty about the Pirates and just making fun of them. Or make fun of the Cubs.
Yeah, how about a she-shack she-shanty?
A she-shed she-shack she-shanty. And, of course, you're going to win a white T-shirt that apparently says Tony on it, like Tony Rizzo, and an ice cube tray. The weather is going to be in the mid-70s. It might rain tomorrow, 40% chance of rain on Friday, 40% chance of rain on Sunday for Pedro Strop bobblehead day. And the Friday game, I think this is the first one of the year that they're doing it 3:05.
Hey. I'm here, again, giving you an ad because you're not a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/sunranto. I'm trying to make money here, so here's another ad for my bookie. And I'm here at mybookie.ag on the sports book, and I'm looking at today's line for the, 3:00 game. Pirates versus Cubs. Man, John Lester is heavily favored in this game, and I understand why. Steven Brault is a +150 money line. Oh, my God. I hate to say it, but this is a team that can't hit lefties that well, except for Nick Castellanos, and I guess Wilson Contreras will be back in there, but still, they don't hit lefties well, and for some reason, we can't beat bad teams. So, if you really want to make money here, I bet on the Pirates and actually make some money and parlay it into a wild card ticket. So go to mybookie.ag. They're going to double your first deposit if you use promo code CHAIR, CHAIR. Get in there, bet, win, get paid. And hey, join us on Patreon and never listen to ads. Patreon.com/sunranto. Or go to mybookie.ag, make money betting, and then patreon.com/sunranto. Okay, back to the show.
It's a little later.
A 3:05. Yeah, I thought Joe banned the 3:05.
No,
game.
It's back. It's back, unless I'm mistaken. Because I looked at it, I was like, Because I've been doing the math wrong on everything. Yeah, 1:05 Pacific, 3:05. They're doing a 3:05, and then the other two games are at 1:20. Tomorrow is a battle of the lefties. Steven Brault, 4-4 with a 4.13. Up against John Lester, 12-10 with a 4.51. They're giving away a pretty cool Cubs cap for the bleacher fans. It's like,
oh, really?
It's like it says Cubs, but it's like, you know how the marquee's got that like red neon kind of like stripe lettering, like the Wrigley marquee.
Yeah.
The lights in it are like, that neon sign kind of light, that it's written in. That's what the hat looks like. It says Cubs, but it's written in that like red font with like the marquee neon sign look. It's pretty cool.
Is this an artist?
Artist hat. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's kind of cool.
Finally one that you like.
Yeah, it was the only one I like so far. The Cubs, they got 5 runs off of Steven Brault this year so far over 2 games. He went in 10 total innings. He went 7-1 and 3 in the other, and he struck out a batter an inning. So it wasn't bad. Last time he gave up 6 against St. Louis and lost the game. So thanks a lot, fucking Steve. Bryant has 2 homers and rakes off of him, 8-14. In fact, the Cubs are pretty good overall. They have an 893 OPS and 160 plate appearances, so they've seen him a lot. The only guy that sucks is Rizzo, who's 0-11 with 3 walks, so poor Tony Rizzo can't hit the lefty. Lester looked like total dog shit. He went out there, gave up 8 runs to the Brewers when it mattered most, and he let his team down. 3 runs against the Pirates this year through 14.2 innings, so that's pretty good. That's 3 games worth, so it didn't really go that deep, but he did give up only three runs. Melky Cabrera has seen him a shit ton and is really bad against him. He's only got an OPS in the mid-60s despite seeing him a lot when he was with the Yankees, probably. Game 2 is Captain Marvel. You ever hear of this guy, Marvel? Or maybe it's James Marvel?
No.
Yeah. He's a rookie.
I have not.
He's a rookie. It's first year, 25-year-old rookie.
I went to the movie with my children, though.
Captain Marvel. And he's going up against Kyle Hendricks. He's got a 333 earned run average. They're giving out a Cubs stick-on phone wallet. And it's lame because it's like, you just like stick it on the back of your phone. You can put your credit cards and stuff in there. But here's what's lame about the whole thing. It says Cubs like right in the middle of it. And then there's like 2 fat MasterCard logos on it, too. So it's not really a Cubs phone wallet. It is a MasterCard phone wallet. You know
right.
What I mean? Totally overshadowed. Shadowed. This guy, Captain Marvel, he gave up. He only pitched 1 game, in fact. And it was against the Cardinals. He went 5 and he gave up 2 base on balls, 2 strikeouts. And no Cub has ever seen him, so we're fucked.
Oh, we're screwed.
Yeah. Totally
done.
Fucked. Yeah. Kyle Hendricks, however, pitched very well against the Padres. He gave up 2. Only 1 was earned. He went 5.2. And this year against the Padres, he's pitched in 3 games. 2 games. He went 7-1 and 3 in the other because he got hurt. But he's only given up 3 runs in those 10 innings. And he only gave up 1 run through 7 in the other. The Pirates have a 544 OPS and 120 plate appearance, and only Frazier has homered. So, looking pretty good. It's going to be 0-0 for 46 innings. Game 3 on Sunday. It is Pedro Strop karaoke night bobblehead, and I will be back in the stands at Wrigley, not watching the game on WGN like the rest of you. End of an era. Last few games on GN. Sad, sad moments. Trevor Williams up there playing his country music against Q. Trevor Williams has a 5.21 earned run average. Q has a 4.15.
Why did I immediately? I was thinking Trevor Williams sounded like a country music guy too.
Yeah, I've said that on this show for 5 years straight, and you're now just picking up on it.
Maybe that's why. Well, I fucking forget the names of these guys almost immediately because. Who's Trevor Williams?
Yeah, and who cares? So yeah. Trevor gave up 4 through 5.2 against the Giants. And he against the Cubs this year, he's been absolutely terrible. 13 runs and 11 innings pitched against the Cubs this year over 2 games. Schwarber has 3 dongs off of him. And the Cubs team have an 871 OPS and 210 plate appearances. He is fucked. Totally fucked. Jose Quintana... Well, we already talked about him last time he went out there, gave up 4 through 5 against the Brewers, and then that was the Cubs' only win in that series.
Quintana will be better in this game because hopefully everybody else will be better.
Yeah, and then we already talked about his start against the Padres. Hopefully he can right.
By the way, Trevor Williams is a violinist.
No, that's. Oh, it is?
Yeah, Trevor, he's a violinist.
Yeah, and then there's Taylor Davis.
To be fair, he's a country music violinist.
Taylor Davis. Oh, that's good. Taylor Davis is also a violinist.
Is he?
Yeah, she. It's a girl, Taylor Davis. Also, my Airbnb host that I'm at right now, name is Taylor Davis.
Crazy. Nice.
Yeah.
It's and she has pictures hanging all over of her, and wherever you walk, her eyes follow you.
Yeah. Just like the real Taylor Davis. The real. Like he's real.
The real.
No, the violinist comes up first on Google search. That's how you know that you're not a good baseball player. So it's true.
Who is in the background? I just heard the laugh.
Oh, that's Johnny. Johnny just walked
in. It's just been quiet the whole time. And then just one little laugh.
So, yeah, Q, you know, we talked about him before, and then against the Brewers, he was okay against the Brewers. It was the Cubs' only win in that series, though. Against Pittsburgh, though, this year, 6 runs in 27 innings over 4 games, so we've seen him a lot, seen the Pirates a lot, and they were all wins. So that's good. Bell and Osuna homered, but overall, against Jose Quintana, The Pirates only have a 527 OPS and 136 plate appearances, so that's pretty fucking impressive. I think the Cubs can sweep this one. They have to, right?
Oh.
I said that about the
Padres. They need to sweep something. Like, I am...
Show a little life, fellas.
I'm dying. I'm watching every game that I can, and even if I'm not watching it, like, the day of, I'm watching all the highlights and fucking following it the next day. It is brutal to watch, to follow this team right now. I just want them to go on a run.
I want them to sweep the homestand. You know, they're going to face the Reds next, and then the Cardinals come into town. There's no more off days. There just aren't. They just have to get on a fucking roll and feel themselves. And if they don't, season over. It's as simple as that. Because it's going to end regardless. Yeah. You know, it ends on the 29th.
They need to choose between Theo or Joe. And we know Joe's gone. They just need to kick Joe out of the clubhouse and be like, look, we're doing it ourselves now. And start playing fucking Sandlot Bad News Bears ball.
Yeah.
Right? Just fucking, like, you know, ride motorcycles out on the field and like talk shit to each other and yell and then just
get your motor,
you know, whoever
running.
Wants to. Yeah, and the kid
get
that they don't
the
like.
Highway.
Yeah, they're just going to start making the, you know, make the pitcher lead off just to fuck with him. You know, just do something different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really has been bad. I mean, it's just been average. It's been everything average.
Average is worse than bad, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, 500 baseball is like the worst kind of fucking baseball because you don't know what really is going on. You know, it's like, just like you're not going any direction. You're just treading water all season. Win one, lose one. It's better. Yeah, fuck it.
When they were bad, we could just give up. We could just give up and just talk about how bad they were.
And
or
have
fucking
fun.
Talk about
no,
stuff
we
now.
Do something else. Talk about something else. Just be at enjoy the game. It. Still enjoy it. Enjoy the ballpark. You paid $5 to go because they suck. But now we're paying a lot of money for average, and it sucks.
Now we cry. We cry uncontrollably because they get swept. And then they turn around and they sweep somebody, and then we get super excited. And
then they let us down again. And I mean, that's part of a baseball season, but it's just like this team. Like, it's just, no, they can't get it going. And there is still a chance they could get it going and get on some roll and start beating everybody. But I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I not since like May.
No.
They went on like a 7-game streak or some shit like that. And I haven't seen it since.
Yeah. So I told Cubs Jamas to take the night off, and I told him I would write the poem, and I'd say it in a really low voice, just like he does. So I did write a poem, and it goes like this.
The Cubs season is almost dead, and the Cub fans are scratching their heads. It ain't rocket science. If you can't beat the Pirates, you'll have trouble beating the Reds.
Oh my God, I wish we had another 3 hours for me to figure out what that voice sounded like.
Like how I sound like this.
I have heard it might be a Muppet. I'm not sure. Like I've heard that voice before, though. It was excellent.
Oh yeah, baby. Sometimes I can't do it without coughing up a lung, but right now it's working out okay.
Yeah, I can put it down there. It's like some weird like vocal fry thing I can do. Anyhow, it doesn't usually come up.
But sometimes it does.
So, I can't talk high,
that's
though.
That's the half a bottle of vodka.
Yeah,
still
oh,
working
yeah.
For you.
Oh, yeah, baby. 80 proof.
See, there it goes. I can only get away from it so long and then it starts.
And like, he's done.
And he's, over. You got I got a quick announcement. Then we'll get our TFCs. G-Man Tavern, noon, September 29th. We're going to be partying last day of the season. Either it's going to be a either way, it's going to be a celebration of us,
go
the Cubs
see the
fans.
Bleacher Bum Band.
Bleacher
you will
Bum
enjoy
Band.
It.
Gonna rock. We'll have a little bloggers forum. I'm gonna book that, and we're gonna get up and talk about the Cubs and record a live podcast. And then, anyway, come on out. It'll be a fun time. 9/29, September 29th. It is Sunday. Sunday. Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday. Sunday. Sunday.
You got a TFC? I don't know that I do. I gotta look through my.
I do.
Screenshots.
I have.
Go ahead. I'll look for mine.
Okay, Andrew Filippone. He is verified, and I don't know why. I've never heard of him before, but. He says, here's a thought. Cubs collapse again. Joe Madden gets fired. Pirates hire Madden to replace Hurdle. I'd love that. Let bygones be bygones.
Hurdle?
Oh, wait. He's a Pittsburgh fan.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the cubesiest thing ever.
So yeah, here I do have one, from Goin Getter, who I believe is a Cardinals fan. I was bitching about CB Buckner and I tweeted out like the, a screenshot of, you know, the strike zone and his missed calls or the ones when when he didn't give C-Sheck anything.
Yes. I read through the comments on that. You have people from all sorts of teams that just follow you for no reason whatsoever.
To fuck with me. So, this guy, his name is Goin Getter, which is, I don't know, keep it Neil 87. What a dick.
Is it a Beatles reference?
I don't know.
Goin
Getter.
Hey, Jude.
Goin Getter. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So he says about these pitches, they don't look close, really. Pretty low and outside, and the other one is at his eyes. CB is one of the best in the game. Hashtag time to fly. Hashtag Cubs suck.
Yes, I read that one, and I my eyes rolled so hard in my head, I fell out of my chair at work.
CB is one of the best in the game.
Oh, my God. If you
– can't
seriously.
He is not.
That is – if you want to know what a troll does – that's what a
troll
does.
That's it. Yeah, that is it. Yeah,
he just went outside of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, it's not
just
to
fuck with Danny.
So there's the show. I guess that's it. So I'm going to bid you all a fine spagog.
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 No ring upon my finger because I am just a fan. And I spend most of my money on sausages and beer. And I was there when they won it last year. All pressured anticipation had the city tightly wrought with a 5-3 combination as the sailing ball was caught. Half a dozen generations who had lived to see the day the Cubs would take the season all the way. Now we're coming back to Wrigley. Yeah, we're coming back to Wrigley, where the ivy will start growing and the April winds are blowing out today. The conqueror in triumph, bring the foreign trophy home, like old Caesar on the Appian way back in ancient Rome, while the cities of the vanquished have to turn around and look as history's inscribed into the books. Now we're coming back to Wrigley. Yeah, we're coming back to Wrigley. Oh, there'll be no talk of losing while the bleacher bums are boozing by the flags. Peanuts. We'll pay more for the beer. We're paying for the players that can win another year. But if that's the cost of winning, the Cubs can have it all. Just keep on having fun and playing ball. And we're coming back to Wrigley. Yeah, we're coming back to Wrigley. Oh, we're all a little tougher, so let's just go in another one. We're all a little tougher, so let's just go in another one. We're all a little tougher, so let's just go in another one. We're all a little tougher, so let's just go in another one. We're all.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.